Oh, yeah, Chicago. It is Sunday just after 1:05, technically 1:07. And it's time for the Frank Fontana Show here on WGN Radio 720. And if you didn't love that little homemade open right there, that's me with my iPhone because we're having some technical difficulties. So I just want to play a little intro music to kind of roll us into it. It's a beautiful day out there. A beautiful weekend, as a matter of fact. I got to say, that had one of those kind of leave it to Beaver weekends. You know what that means? Kind of like a little hometown, feel good, Main Street type of vibe. We had all the kids from the neighborhood. And our block is fantastic, by the way. In downtown LaGrange, we have probably one of the best blocks. 30 kids, all in the same age. We had the opportunity to all hang out, and we roasted marshmallows last night. We did s'mores at my neighbor Kirk and Jenny's house. I mean, it was truly one of those just great family nights, and I think it's attributed to the weather is just spectacular. It's making us all really happy. So I hope you guys are sharing the same kind of feeling out there. It is a Gay Pride weekend. The big parade is underway, happening as we speak. I know WGN's got a big float down there. A lot of our talents riding on it. So have fun out there. Be safe. And we have a great show for you, for those who are actually listening and hanging out with us here at WGN 720. We'll be here till 3 o'clock, and the show is dedicated to my favorite thing, design, build, and architect. We have the folks from the Chicago Architecture Biennials stopping by. Todd Palmer, the executive director, is going to be here. We're going to be talking about all the amazing buildings here in Chicago and this rich history we have and the legacy that we have with all the amazing architecture here. Joining us from the Visiting Assistant Professor Program for Architects here from University of Illinois Chicago, Anya Jaworska is joining us. Sharon Johnston, Artistic Director and Founding Principal of LA-based firm Johnston Markley. So if you're a fan of Chicago buildings, our skyline, you're going to love this show because we're going to dedicate our second hour to that. And before that, reviewing a new product, you know, in our Frank's Fave segment here, this company Works, W-O-R-X-K, came out with this awesome portable table saw that I'm staring at right now. I'm kind of geeking out over it, I'm not going to lie. It's kind of like a reverse jigsaw facing up, but it's super light. I've been carrying it around, and you can cut wood, metal, tile, plastic, aluminum, get up, go to the next job site, or even at home. It's a great DIY product. We're going to be reviewing that and talking to the company today. Let's see. And then we're going to have some designers in studio. Sim Studio founders are joining us. Wall, floor, and ceiling finishes, from murals to gilding and faux finishes. We're going to hear about it all. I know you probably think faux finishes, it's the year 2017. Well, the right faux finish, the right trompe-l'oeil, always can work. It just has to be done right. We're going to find out how to do it right from some top designers. And I got to say a big thank you to all of you, all the fans out there, both on social media, here on WGN Radio, from our TV show. Our family had a great weekend, not just because of the weather, but my wife was in radiation treatment all week, pretty much the entire week, away from the family. For 4 days. And I know a lot of you have been texting and writing how Sherry, my wife, and how she's doing with her cancer battle. I am thrilled to announce that the radiation treatment was 100% success. And she's officially, at this point, beat cancer. So I couldn't be more thrilled. And in honor of that, I kind of cut my a little video that if you go over to my Instagram or Facebook page, you could see it right now. It's kind of a little sweet moment where I went to go pick up my wife and came home, and the kids were just anxiously waiting with the babysitter. And the minute I opened the gate, they just came running and just started crying. It was such an amazing emotional moment that I happened to capture on video, which is kind of cool. And I cut it together with some fun music. Go to Facebook, actually. Go to my Facebook page at Frank Fontana. We'll also post this on WGN Radio as well on the Facebook page. It's just great. It's a great feeling to know that, you know, you could take on such a beast as cancer, and not that many people, and we know this, are as fortunate as we were to be able to aggressively jump on this thing that has taken over our lives and pretty much ruined it for, you know, a good 4 or 5 months, not knowing the fear that comes along with that, to now, you know, rejoice and knowing, yeah, we still have a road ahead of us to get 100% health for my wife, but we've beat it. We're past it. Now it's just a matter of rebuilding and regaining the confidence and all and go back to a normal life. So I just want to say thank you again. You guys have been a phenomenal support system. All the prayers and all the well wishes definitely go recognized here. And I've been showing my wife all all the posts that you guys have been putting on our Facebook page and emailing and tweeting. So we do hear you and thank you so much. And we do wish to anybody out there who's going through a similar battle as we did that the biggest thing is never, ever give up hope. You know, that is the one thing that, you know, even at the darkest moments when we thought, you know, there even towards the end, we were coming out of the final scans of her radiation treatment, and there was something on the image that, you know, scared the crap out of us. We thought, oh my God, it spread. But I guess when you're doing radiation treatment for women, it settles in certain areas like the breast and the ovaries. And when they do the full body scan, it lit up to a point where we thought, oh my God, it's traveled. But thank you was a false positive, which is good. It happens. But we do, you know, feel for anybody going through the situation. And my wife's new, you know, initiative and platform is going to be helping people going through thyroid cancer. As my wife was sitting in radiation, this kind of girl she was allowed to have her cell phone. And another friend of ours, actually not even a friend, somebody asked if she would kindly help somebody else who was going into thyroid cancer removal surgery that day. Would she talk to her? So the entire time they were texting each other, these two strangers, my wife and this woman, and supporting each other and getting themselves through each of the different phases of their cancer battle. And it was just an amazing thing. And she came out of her surgery great. And my wife's free of it all. So we're ready to put this behind us, open up a new chapter. Again, forever grateful to have my family back together in a normal place. Anyways, we're almost ready to start this show. We have a really fun lineup. I mean, like, if you know me and you know I'm all about design, home improvement, and life improvement. That's our biggest thing, is life improvement. This show is dedicated to that. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get this puppy on the road.
Not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
No, you're not alone.
The Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. We're here until 3 o'clock, and we have a day of design. We're chatting it up with some talk soup all about interiors, exteriors, architecture, and we're going to start with the interior, with one of my favorite topics. And I always say the ceiling is the fifth wall. And my guest might agree with me, because that's what he does. He makes things beautiful. Jorge Simez, welcome to the studio, my friend.
Thank you, Frank.
So tell me about your company.
Well, our company, Simez Studios, started in Argentina in 1985, and we moved to Chicago with Cindy, my wife and partner, in 1988. And since then, we've been based in Chicago. We work nationwide.
And your specialty is what?
What our specialty is, I would say, anything that we can work in together with architects and interior designers that involves the arts.
Now, when you say the arts, that's a broad topic.
It is.
Tell me exactly what that means for you.
Well, for instance, we work on a variety of visual devices, such as trompe l'oeil or trick to the eye. We work on grisaille, which is a French term that means gradations of gray to create optical illusions. We work on finishes, which cover a wide range.
Now, when you say finishes, did you drop the faux from the finishes? Because everyone here in the States has... it used to be the hottest thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember back in the, what was it, like early 90s into the 2000s, you would see every type of faux finish. You had the sponge, you had the Venetian plaster, you had the elephant skin, you had and I was a huge fan, and I still am. I mastered a lot of those techniques. And when you're doing low-budget, high-style renovations on national television for HGTV, you got to figure out ways to make things look expensive even though they're not. And that's kind of one of the tricks with finishing, right?
That is very true. However, we prefer to call them just finishes, and to make a strong relationship with finishes and art. Because in our view, they are not faux or fake. They're real finishes.
Right. They're artistic finishes.
Exactly. For instance, we use something called Marmorino, which has marble dust in it.
Yes.
So there is nothing not real about Marmorino. It's actual real marble dust.
And where do you apply that to?
Well, to walls or ceilings, for instance. And they have a beautiful quality, which I would like to call timeless. It really could have been done 400 years ago, and it could be done in the next century. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. And a product like that, I mean, obviously there's a lot of more DIY consumer versions of that product. Now, I would say, does that, the product with the marble dust you're talking about, does it create the polished finish like a Venetian plaster would?
It would, and if you happen to be good at it, you can actually create quite a range.
If you happen to be Jorge, you could do it. So do you encourage people to continue, the artistic direction of faux finishes? I mean, as a trend, I'll stop saying faux, it's just a habit. In terms of finishes, is this trend coming back? Do you encourage people to regain their love for the finishes?
I think the love for the finishes is only to be understood and appreciated, because nobody likes a flat wall.
Or
a wall with just flat paint. It just seems to be, just boring.
But we do live in this time. I mean, let's talk shop for a little bit here. We live in a time right now where it's a very, you got two things going on. Minimalism, lots of white, and then you have the complete juxtaposition with rustic, distressed, which still involves a lot of white. But you're seeing like the shiplap and the distressed woods and the barn woods a ton. You know, and it's almost like the barnwood has taken the place of a texture that you would do as an artist.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel like we live in a privileged time, the 21st century, because we have access to all of those textures, all of those qualities. And each of them, if properly executed, has a certain meaning and brings to mind certain memories, even memories of things that you haven't lived yet.
Yeah.
Yet, if the textures are properly chosen and executed, I don't see any end to that.
Yeah. Do you ever think there could be too much texture?
I think there could be too much texture, but then again, keep in mind that we are all different people and we all have different needs, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can, right. There's, I know a slew of designers who layer on top of layer on top of layer, and it works.
Exactly.
Then others try it and it doesn't work so much.
And the same with the arts. You know, if you were to just walk a few blocks that way north, you go to the MCA and you see Murakami, the Japanese artist right now. Mm-hmm. For many, I think he's a great artist, but for many people, that would be way too much. The same applies to textures in general.
Now, you brought some samples with you, which you could see. This is not just radio, folks. We live in the year of 2017. So you can hop online right now to wgnradio.com/watch. And we have about four or five cameras. I don't know if you even know this, Jorge. Staring at us while we're doing our radio show, and we're going to hold up some of these finishes. What is the first one here? This is like a metallic silver.
This one here?
The silver one, yeah.
The silver one.
Yes.
Yeah, the silver one, this is a very traditional application of a 12-karat white gold leaf.
Wow, can I hold that?
Yeah, please do.
And this is just on cardboard or some kind of...
That's a styrene, which is similar, yeah.
This is a finish?
That is a finish.
This is not a wallpaper.
It's not a wallpaper. No, it's executed the way that it should be done.
This is spectacular. And okay. I've been around this for a long, long time. And I've worked with some really great companies. This is beautiful.
Thank you.
Do you have a website where we could send people? And we're going to have you around for a little while here. But I do you have samples like this on the site? Or
yes.
Where people can come and actually touch this stuff? Because I don't think... You know, doing it with words is justice enough to actually see this. And that's why I encourage people right now to go to wgnradio.com/watch. I'm holding up this piece of sample board. How did you get the sheen so vibrant?
Well, first of all, those are little squares of a 12-karat white gold leaf, which is an alloy between real gold, which is 23-karat, silver, and nickel.
Okay.
And those are super thin little piece of foil, about 3.25 inches each. That one is made in Germany. They're either made in Germany or in Italy. It's the same quality. They're applied one by one, all of those little squares. And that's why you may think it was machine made, but it's not. It's just properly executed by hand.
So do you draw the lines, measure it out, snap a line, and follow it whole way up?
Yep.
How long would it take you to do a 10 by 10 wall? I mean, you've got to be there all day.
Again, if you're a professional, you've been doing this for a while, and you know how the motions move, you'll do it in a fraction of time that it would take somebody that is not doing this on a daily basis.
All right, you bring up a good point. How long have you been studying this?
I have been working as a professional in the applied arts for 32 years.
And what motivated you to get started in the business?
I would say an inquisitive nature, just to see how things look, how they may look.
Was your mom and dad artistic?
Not at all.
Really?
But they were supportive, you know?
Yeah.
And I always liked the collaborations that we have with interior designers or architects, because whatever we can create as a group is a lot more than what we can do individually.
Sure.
So it becomes something that it's fascinating. It's an adventure, you know, all of a sudden something that has a boring look ends up looking interesting.
Now, did you start off working with painters and as a painter to work your way up through?
I started working as just a regular artist going to art school.
Mm-hmm.
I had two different degrees, and one of them was in printmaking. And believe it or not, all of his finishes are somewhat related to printmaking.
Interesting.
Even though you relate them to painting, which is true.
In what way? What would you say was the biggest connector to the two arts?
You use the principle of accepting or repelling a medium, which is typical for printmakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oil and water, those
yes.
type of things.
Yes.
And if you use the oil and the water in a certain pattern, you create a certain effect. Once you understand that, you keep multiplying that, and there is no end.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This is fascinating stuff. I hope you guys are finding it fascinating, too. We're just getting started with our conversation, our day of design, talking to Jorge Simis, owner of Simis Studios. Where are you guys located here in Chicago?
Yes, we are. We are at 1809 West Webster Avenue. The studio, we own it with my wife, who's also an artist, Cindy. And we are a small company. We are 9 people altogether, full-time artists. Wonderful artists. We do the design work with my wife, and everything eventually gets to be executed by the artist in charge. And we take, daily communications with everybody that is working in each project,
okay.
including of course the clients and including of course the architect or the interior designer. So it's a fluid communication.
Interesting stuff. We're going to have more with Jorge in a second. We'll take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with news and more Jorge.
He's a dad. He's a designer. He's the guy who can make your house a home. And maybe make your husband a little handier.
No, you're not.
This
alone.
Is the Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey there, everybody. It's me, Frank Fontana. Thanks for joining us. We're here till 3 o'clock. If you're not at the Gay Pride Parade, then you're probably listening to us. Or enjoying this beautiful weather. Either way, I hope you're having a great day. It's a day of design here in the studio at WGN Radio. Hi, have it there. Lots of nice, happy, smiling people. Good to see you. Have a great day out there. Oh, I love the fans here. In studio, I'm being joined by Jorge Simis, owner of Simis Studio. He's one of the founders with his wife, Cindy. Jorge, welcome to the show. I'm geeking out over all the stuff here, man. I'm sorry. I'm during the break, I'm like, he handed me his press kit with all the visuals and a bunch of samples. Folks, if you, I wish radio, you could just reach through the radio and touch and see what I am. But you could watch on WGNradio.com/watch. You could see what I'm talking about right now if you're in front of a computer. Jorge, your work is fantastic. And I got to tell you, I'm not just saying this. I've been around the world of finishing, faux finishing, creative wall finish, whatever you want to call it. And this is top quality.
Thank you.
No joke. This is top quality. I've been around amazing artists. This is great stuff. And we left off in our break. We teased the idea, if you're staring at mirrors in your home from 1970s with the gold brass frame around them, and you hate them, and you don't have a ton of money to rip them out and put new stuff on, what are some of the solutions using artistic finishes that people can do or call you to do to fix that problem?
Well, it changes in each case, but the first thing to do is just to study the space. I would say that if you cannot take anything out, you may consider overlapping, you know, layering
yes.
of glass. Because keep in mind, glass is typically translucent.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is opaque, some of it comes etched, you know, but if it is translucent, then in that case, you can use a wide variety of possibilities, including gilding, including painting, including
what goes into gilding? Because you brought some samples, right, of some gilded work.
Oh yeah, gilding in general, without trying to get too technical, you can use leaf gilding or powder gilding. Both of them are beautiful in different ways, and with one you can give a more painterly effect. With the other one, it's more precise. You get hard edge, you know, and
so
and
with
more
the
definition.
With the powdered, is it kind of like you put a? And I'm going to be really lame here. because I've never done it. Like you put glue or some kind of adhesive substance in the design you want, and then you take it in your hand and you gently go, that's how I envision you doing it, or myself. That's the way I would
could
do
be.
It.
That could be, but typically what you do, you think in terms of a watercolor, for instance.
Yes.
Where you have a medium which is clear, it opens up the feel, and then you have another medium which is the same one plus the powders, and then you work a certain shape, a certain figure, and spreads out the way that watercolors would.
Oh, interesting.
And it creates a beautiful effect.
But can you do that if there's a surface, let's say I have those old mirrors I was mentioning with the brass frames or closet doors that have mirrors, and I'm just sick of looking you know, at myself when I get up in the morning because my hair's all messed up and I like to, you know, at least look decent when I look in the mirror. What can you do to those mirrors that would, you know, dress up the room a little bit?
Well, here's the thing. We prefer to work on the back of mirrors because that way it allows you to clean the front with very simple products, you know. I'm not going to give commercial
credit to
names.
Anybody?
Yeah, because, you know, everybody knows a window cleaner, you know,
sure,
but you can
sure,
use
sure.
all of those. But you can only use those if you paint the back or decorate the back of the glass. So what you can do is to keep the glass, for instance, in the case that you're talking about. Keep the glass that you have. Put a thin layer of glass that you treat, that we treat somewhat artistically, and then you can glue it on top of the old mirror, letting parts of that come through.
Interesting.
And you affix it with silicone, and there are many different kinds of silicone in there. We have our favorites, and those do not affect the back of the glass.
Are those favorites available in your local hardware store, or are these specialty products that
No, you can buy them pretty much anywhere, and they're not expensive.
How about the plasters? Are these imported from Italy? Are they like the most unique plasters you get, or are they something you could buy at your Sherwin Williams or your J.C. Licht or any of the paint stores out there?
Both. In other words, we use a wide range. We import some of the plasters that we use, like you said, from Italy. Some come from Canada, and a lot of it comes from the U.S. You know, different manufacturers. Again,
do you ever hear of Modern Masters?
Oh yeah.
Love their products.
Yeah, they're very good products.
They're good stuff.
And at our studio, because we like to work on our own recipes, we mix a number of different items into textures that would be our own texture. And we manipulate them just like we manipulate color every single day, you know, changing
sure.
the hues, changing the values, and changing the layering. Sometimes they're more opaque, sometimes they're more translucent. And in that handling of it, comes what we would like to call the mystery of whatever you're looking at, that you feel attracted to a certain surface and you don't know why.
Yeah.
And it's just because it was handled in a certain way.
Yeah. We're going to get deep in a second here. Folks, if you have any questions for our artist, our wall expert, from anything from murals to faux finishing to creative finishes. I'm sorry, I keep saying faux.
Oh, it's fine.
Real finishes. Let's call them real wall finishes. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Give us a call. Text us in your questions. We'll be happy to answer them. If you're looking for a cool idea for a wall, you want to do something different, this is your opportunity to speak to one of the best artists in Chicago for this. Jorge, do you ever feel like you're fighting technology in your business? Because there's like, you know, you got like 3M and all these amazing walls that are like fabricated by giant computer CNC machines that you can make literally any texture you want off a computer, even 3D modeling, let's say. Do you feel like you're fighting technology in your business?
No, because what we do can only be made by a human hand, the way I see it.
Yeah.
We do not have the, even in the best possible case of printing, you do have the teeny tiny dots.
Mm.
And that tells you that it's a multiple, and we prefer to see the human hand in all cases.
Yeah. So you find the perfection in the imperfection of human design and human artistic.
Exactly. If you aim at your highest and you have skill, whatever you're going to be accomplishing is going to be better than any multiple, you know, printed by the hundreds or the thousands.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask you the dreaded question. Are you a fan of wallpaper?
Nope.
I like the answer. Straight up, nope. Why?
Well, because I think it's a reproduction. And the way I see what we do is an original.
Mm.
So given the opportunity to choose between an original and a reproduction, I will go for the original.
Have you heard of a company, Maya Romanoff?
Oh, of course.
Now, they're a little different.
Yeah, they are different.
I would compare Maya Romanoff similar to what you would do in the sense that their finishes are very... I've been to their studios. I've been to their... And there is artists back there that literally hand create every single piece of wall covering that goes out.
Yes.
Similar to what you guys would do. So I think they stand alone a little bit, but I think generically speaking, the Graham and Browns of the world, I'm not against wallpaper. Do I love taking it down? No. Do I love putting it up? Not so much. So there, yeah. But do I like seeing it in an accent of a room somehow, or that kind of, you know, visual breaking up a design? Yes, I will say. But, you know, only because I feel like, you know, to find good artists like you is far and few between. I think a lot of people try to do great creative wall finishes by hand, but very few succeed in making it look fantastic. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's totally true. And I think that I want to make sure that you know that I agree about what you just said about Maya Romanoff.
Yes.
Or if you go two centuries back, you know, Zubair, for instance, the wallpapers that, for instance, you would see in the dining room at the White House, you know, those type of things.
Yes.
That is not exactly what I would call a typical wallpaper.
No.
Now, there is a feeling that if you're trying to create an environment that is unique, if you use wallpaper, there is a feeling of letdown that the moment that you see that wall, you will know that you saw that wall a year ago.
Or open up a magazine, you're going to see that again.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. It's the most produced feel, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm rifling through some of your sample boards here. And as I mentioned, those 3D printed images, I just found one is what I was exactly thinking about. It's like a wave wall that is very popular right now. It's very popular in modern design. And this one here is just like that. Now, how do you create this depth and texture and the color?
That's been sculpted with two different kinds of plaster. One is more of a conventional plaster that we work with long knives, you know, just creating scallops.
Yes.
And we sand in between, and the final two layers are the tightest possible application of Venetian plaster that do not want to change the waviness of that. But the thing about Venetian plaster, and I know that many people have preconceptions about this, but the way that we deal with it is a completely different thing. It's finer than paint. So if you run your hand on that,
It feels like silk.
It should feel like pearl. You know, it
or
should
pearl,
feel like you're,
right.
you're
it's
touching.
Smooth.
Exactly.
It's got an opulent and iridescent value to it.
Yeah, and it's been waxed and it's been buffed and it's been burnished like that. So
yeah.
So you can only squeeze so much out of each medium, you know, and if you mix them properly, you get that.
And the second one I'm looking at here looks almost like a marble.
Yep.
So tell me about this finisher, because this is marble is super hot right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're installing, and we do design and renovation and build all the time. People are clamoring for marble and marble-like finishes all over the place.
Yep. That is one of the plasters that we work in combination with other techniques at the studio. That's an Italian plaster that we try
to... Lime-based?
No, actually it's not lime-based, but very fine, and you can actually pull a certain... equivalent of brush strokes, which in that case is horizontal and it's all very blended, you know, so you actually don't get to see it. But if you see a big wall, you would see the faintest possible horizontal sweep, very gentle. You barely get to see it. Yeah.
Gorgeous. You know what I'm going to do for you folks? I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to have my intern Eli going to come in here during the commercial break, take pictures. I'm going to spread these out on the floor, and we're going to post them on my Instagram page and my Facebook so everyone can
awesome.
See firsthand what all these finishes, and we'll link to your website. Once again, give us the company info.
Sure. The name of the company is Simes Studios, and it's SimesStudios. The website, www.simesstudios.com.
And you have these samples up on there? People can get a feel for the work?
We have some of those samples in there. What we have is a lot of installation pictures, because people want to see what it looks like once you have them up.
Excellent. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to wrap it up here with Jorge, talk a little bit more about design, and then we're going to switch gears and talk about working with your wife.
Yeah.
I've done it. It's interesting at times. We'll be right back.
It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement.
It's thriller time, folks. That's right. It's Sunday, it's fun day, and we're enjoying it all. We're talking design here in the studio at WGN Radio 720 here on the Frank Fontana Show. We're here through 3 o'clock. The boys from the beat are coming up right after that. Right now, we're focusing on design, and my friend George Simas is in studio from Simas Studios, George, I got to say, I'm impressed, man. And I'm not easily impressed when it comes to design in Fofin. I've seen a lot in my day.
Thank you.
And this is quality, quality stuff, folks. If you're looking for somebody to bring an artistic flair to your design, you got to call Jorge or go visit the website. I'm looking through these images. And a couple of things that really stuck out at me. I used to do a lot of faux wood graining. And I've tried every different techniques. Combs, rockers, brushes, feathers. You name it. I'm looking at a photo here that looks so realistic. What techniques do you guys use, and why, in this day and age, with so much reclaimed wood, would somebody want to do something like this?
Well, I think the fascination always comes from the fact that you are, if you do a good enough job, convincing enough job, you're proving yourself that your eyes should not be trusted. So that alone is a great thing to appreciate with a sense of humor. You know, if it's actually very well done and it looks like something and it's something else, you feel like saying, well, how about if I keep looking?
Right.
So that's something. That, and then there is also from the point of view of the artist and the art appreciator, which typically is the client, if something is properly executed, it just makes you feel good. You know, it just makes you feel like...
How often are you getting calls to do faux wood graining?
Several times a year.
Yeah.
Several times a year.
And what are the typical surfaces that people are asking to do it on?
Well, believe it or not, oftentimes it's doing one type of wood on top of a different type of wood. And sometimes what we do is trompe l'oeil marquetry. In other words, something that would look like a very intricate, in whichever style, of which lately I think that Art Deco is actually very appreciated because
yes.
Art Deco, I think, is staying put as the urban style for the centuries to come. You know, I mean,
you think so?
Oh, I think it's just really sharp. I mean, look around us. You know, you wouldn't imagine all of this without the presence of Art Deco in some of these buildings.
It's so true. I mean, everyone, and including myself, when you say Art Deco, I instantly think Miami Beach. I think, you know, the pop colors, the very vibrant side of Art Deco.
That's one of them. And that probably applies also to LA. However, when it comes to Chicago, when it comes to New York, when it comes to Paris, when it comes to London, that's a different type of Art Deco, which is urban, is strict, but is luscious, and
yeah.
It's sensuous, and it just tells you about high city life.
Yeah, and this is a great segue because we're going to be talking later on in the show to the folks at the Chicago Architecture Biennial, Todd Palmer, and I'm going to ask him about this whole Art Deco influence here in Chicago and how deep that runs. You know, another one of your finishes, Jorge, that I love is the calligraphy on walls, and not just hand painted, you know, like an inked looking wall, but you're doing it in plaster.
Yeah.
Which is so unique. It's three-dimensional.
Yep. Yeah, we have done the calligraphy, which we love because of the gesture. We have done it on canvas as a more of a, I would say, as a pattern, painterly, in the sense that it's almost like painting a painting.
Yes.
That happens to be repeated enough times that comes across as a pattern. But in reality, it's something that if you squint your eyes, you can see that there is a meaning to it. We have done it on canvas, we have done it on plaster, we have done it on glass.
The image I'm looking at now, which is from your portfolio here, yeah. is shows a dining area, almost like an eat-in nook,
yeah.
With a beautiful oval window. And above it you have, is this on canvas or is this onto the wall?
That is on canvas. That is a breakfast room, a beautiful breakfast room in Lincoln Park. And the text that you see in there, it's very hard to tell unless you actually pay attention to the text. It's Italian and it's based on a small segment of the Divine Comedy by Dante Alighieri. But the way how it's executed...
Are a lot of times the clients telling you what exactly they want, or are they saying, you know what, you come up with the theme?
It's the whole range.
I just took a picture, by the way, folks, of what I'm talking about. I'm going to post it up on Instagram as we speak.
It's a whole range. It's a whole range, and oftentimes, and this happens within the first minute that you meet someone, that you meet your client, for instance... You can tell if the communication is and the expectations, what they are. And then at that point, once you're established that you can actually talk, then you just let yourself go. And by that, I mean myself and the client.
Yes.
And the architect or the interior designer, because you can tell that this is going to be a good mix.
How often do they hand the keys over to you and say, you know what, Jorge, this is your ship. Drive this thing.
Oftentimes.
Yeah.
Oftentimes to feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah. That's great. Now, let's talk numbers. You know, like when you sit down with a client or somebody right now is listening who's interested to find out more information, which, by the way, you can go to Simes Studio, which is SimesStudios.com. And drop them an email if you're interested in talking to Jorge more about a potential finish. And here's a great way to take some, make something look so high end, probably for a fraction of the price of what it would cost. And I'm just, that's where I want to get to the numbers here. What do the numbers look like for jobs like this?
The numbers are, I would say, all over the place from the point of view that every single project that we bid is different.
Yeah,
it's different,
so
in
unique.
Size, it's different in as far as what I call the production effort. Some finishes or some projects, because some of them are not finishes, may require one or two steps. Some of them may require eight steps. Some of them may require, like we just saw in here, 12 karat white gold leaf, which is not inexpensive to begin with. And some of them can actually be done with just texture.
Right.
Sometimes, which we haven't talked about, but we also do painted floors. And the painted floors, we have the entire range from something that would be very minimalistic to something that would be a neoclassical floor that includes gold leafing, for instance.
Yes, very extensive. It's, and what do you do? The, an epoxy coating over those?
Yeah, you have to make sure. What we do basically is the design and the artwork. But before we start working and after we start working, there is a flooring company that does all of the preparation. We pick the hues, you know, for the staining, if it's going to be stained. They do one coating of sealer. We do our artwork. And then typically they do two more coats of sealer on top of what we've done. And the sealer can be as tough as whatever they use on basketball courts.
Yes.
So it can be really tough.
Right.
And I've seen little children riding tricycles, you know, on the floors. And then they're just fine.
Now, you do this with your wife, right?
Yes.
How is it working with your wife?
Oh, I think it's a lot of fun.
She's listening right now,
oh,
isn't she?
We have to listen to one another. And we yeah. we try to make sure. Here's the thing. We're very different people with Cindy. But
yeah.
The one thing that we both care and we are intransigent about is we do care about the quality of the final product.
That's great.
Whatever the aim is from the point of view of style, either it looks good or it doesn't look good.
Right.
And we don't blink when something doesn't look good.
Got to fix it.
We don't stop there.
Yeah.
It has to look good.
That's great stuff. Jorge Simas, thank you so much for joining me in studio. This has been a fantastic. It flew by. The last half hour was great. If you want to find more information, visit Jorge's website, simasstudio.com, or give him a call at 773-327-7101. Jorge, enjoy the rest of your day, my friend.
Thank you, Frank.
Pleasure
Appreciate
speaking to you. We'll have you back. I was going to ask you what your least favorite finish is, but I'm going to save that for the next time we interview.
Okay. We'll do that.
But hold on. I'm curious. What is your favorite color?
Oh, my God. You know, I go back and forth between red and blue.
Red and blue. Okay. Your least favorite color?
My least favorite color would have to be some hues of yellow that are greenish.
Okay, good enough. Let's leave it there. We're going to have Jorge back in a couple of weeks. We'll talk more about it. Right now, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll have news after that.
The Frank Fontana Show.
I just try and think of nice things.
What kind of things?
It's not just home improvement.
That's what I call a great idea.
It's life improvement.
We didn't know anything about this.
Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. And yes, it is time for a few of my favorite things. At least one of my favorite things right now. You know I'm all about design, tools, home improvement, renovating, making people's lives a little bit better through design. And when I come across a cool product, I like to talk about it, review it. And I came across this Works Blade Runner Times Two. Dun, dun, dun. Where's the theme music there? The Blade Runner music theme. And joining me in studio is Mike Mangan. He's president of Works PR Agency. Mike, thanks for coming in studio.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me about this amazing new product that I'm in love with here.
Well, it's the Blade Runner, and it's the Works Blade Runner. And what's different about this benchtop saw as opposed to all the others that are out there is that it uses jigsaw blades. Widely available at hardware stores
it's
and
genius,
home centers.
Let me interrupt you. It's genius because, A, they're inexpensive,
yeah,
and you can get pretty much any quality blade, right, to work
any
with this?
Any quality blade, and that's key. You want to make sure you get by a decent blade when you're using any type of cutting tool, really.
And so if you were to imagine this, folks, and you can go, what's the website? So if people want to jump on right now.
It's works.com. That's WORX.com.
And in the search bar, hit the Blade Runner, and you'll see what I'm talking about here. Or you can always just go to WGNRadio.com/watch watch again and see us here if you haven't logged off. And it's almost like if you took the jigsaw and turned it upside down.
Exactly.
And then added like a work surface or even table saw element to it. So it's a hybrid jigsaw table saw, right?
It is. If you have a jigsaw at home or if you see one in a home center, just invert it. Turn it upside down. Configure a tabletop over the top of it. And the difference is that now you manipulate the workpiece with your hands as opposed to guiding it with your tool.
Yeah.
Which is very nice.
And so can you do like custom woodworking with it? Like if you would to, you know, like not necessarily route, but if you were to do like, a nice turn as a jigsaw would, can you control the wood or the, because I mean, with this, you can cut wood, metal, tile, plastic, and exactly. aluminum. I mean, this replaces a lot of tools.
Just by swapping out the blade, you can do all those different materials. But you can guide it much like a jigsaw.
Yeah.
You know, in some jigsaws, you know, when you go to the scrolling capacity on it, you can do some real fine, intricate cuts.
Yes.
And based on your skill set, you know, as you get better with Blade Runner and doing that, you can make circles and inside cuts and everything.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's the average learning curve on it to get to that level?
Really not long. Not long at all. I mean, all you have to do is have the interest and a desire to learn, and you'll be right there.
And it comes with a vacuum port, right?
It does. It's an 1.5-inch vacuum port. If you've got a 2.5-inch shop vac at home, you know, you just put on a reducer to draw up the dust.
Now, let's just say this is not for like, you know, it could be used on a heavy duty work site, but really this is meant for the DIYer, the people at home listening right now who want to have, I mean, who don't have the room for a giant table saw,
yeah.
right? Or multiple tools and is, you know, willing to take on a little bit of a decent sized project.
You know, it's got a small footprint. It's 17 by 15, the tabletop.
It's literally sitting, just to give you perspective here, it's sitting on a file cabinet right now. And it's and it's not, it's like you said, it's not big at all. What's the power like? What kind of juice are we getting out of this thing?
Well, it's 5.5 amps. And, you know, most benchtop saws are drawing 15 amps.
Right.
And, you know, like a jigsaw, you're doing 3,000 strokes per minute, 3/4-inch, you know, up and down movement. So you're getting a lot of cutting power, and you just get a decent blade, and you can go to town with it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, who does your R&D? Like, who thinks of these things?
Well, it's interesting, and you could appreciate this, that their design groups are international. They have a group in Australia. They have a group in Italy, as well as Hong Kong. And when the three of them come together, they really come up with some innovative ideas.
Like, and because it costs money to bring these products to market, a lot of money, I'm sure. When, like, who ultimately, when is that decision made with the new product rollout?
You know, it really depends on the product. It depends on the marketplace. Or it depends on the timing. You know,
well, why did you think, just for instance, why did you think this would be the one? Like, why would you hit this one hard?
You know, the chairman was a person who was really behind it early on. And this came into market in 2010 under the Rockwell brand before it morphed into Works just about 2 months ago. And the idea was just the conceptual idea of inverting a jigsaw, and we can do something with this. So that's kind of how it came about.
Sounds simple. Like you would think, like, oh, yeah, just holding it up and boom. That's
there's,
a good
there's
idea.
There's so many different, you think of some of the, all the different great inventions that have been out there, and some of those were just done in people's basements or in that their desk or in the backyard, just
sure.
thinking up a new idea.
I got to imagine out there in America, somebody took a jigsaw, turned it up, mounted up to some wood somewhere and came up, you know, did a similar job. Putting something like this together, obviously not as well equipped here as our Blade Runner, it's a really cool product. I dig it. Does it come with the blades?
You get five pieces, five different blades that come with it. There's also a blade storage holder right underneath the tabletop. There's also storage for the the fence as well as the miter gauge, and then in the back there's a cord wrap for the 6-foot cord.
Wait, so this guy has miters too?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a
game changer
right there.
If you've got an apartment or a townhouse, and maybe it's vintage in the 70s when it was built, you look down at the baseboards, and most of those homes don't have quarter round.
No.
So you can go to a home center, your favorite lumber yard, and get some pre-finished quarter round and make your cuts. You know, make your 45-inch miters so that you can make that house look a little bit cleaner.
You said it comes with some kind of guide that gets you to the right cut?
It does have the miter guide, which is 0 to 45 degrees, which is pretty standard. And I'm sure there's a 15 and probably a 30 in there. But, you know, most miters are about 45 degrees.
That's huge because a lot of people fear the miter cut, you know? Especially if you're an average DIYer. Like if you're taking on like some trim work, maybe a, you know, chair rail, you know, you get to that miter, and if you're not experienced with a chop saw at the right, you know, cuts, it could get a little funky.
Yeah, and if you don't have a miter saw, you know, like a compound miter saw, where it's good for doing crown and such, the Blade Runner is a good entry tool, not only for those do-it-yourselfers out there that are thinking about, you know, building other projects, but introducing the youngsters to woodworking.
Yeah,
and getting them involved, because it's not a terrifying tool.
Certainly,
but you got to have, you got to have adult supervision too.
Well, the mobility of a product like this, where you can just literally take it by hand, go from, you know, whatever room to room, pop it up, plug it into a regular outlet, correct?
Yep.
Doesn't need any special,
it's
GFIs or anything like that.
And, you know, if you got to get an extension cord, I'd probably suggest a 25. And in the owner's manual, they'll suggest, you know, what the wiring capacity is, so that you're in line in terms of the power.
Yeah, and say you're doing a bathroom. You mentioned you could do tile, ceramic tile, up to 3/4 inch, correct?
3/8 inch.
3/8 inch. That's huge, man. Like, to not have to switch to your wet saw, then back to the jigsaw, back to the, to be able to have everything in one. I think it's just one of those, like, for me, as somebody who does a lot of this stuff, I'd keep this in the trunk, no matter what.
If you're doing piecework, you know, not if you're doing an entire tile job, because then you want to get a wet saw.
But how have you, I mean, obviously you tested it. How are the edges? Is it smooth? Is it, you know, when you're doing a cut like that?
Well, you know, oftentimes if you're trying to place or replace tile and you're using maybe a crimper or a nibbler.
I hate those.
The problem with those is that you're not getting a clean cut.
Never.
You put it on the Blade Runner, you're going to get that clean cut.
And what's the blade you recommend for it?
Well, in there, you know, the different home centers and hardware stores, they got a diamond cutting blade, which is good for tile, or else you can get just a conventional tile blade. But again, buy a decent quality blade, because that'll make all the difference in the world.
Now, what stores carry this?
This is available at Walmart.com. It's also available at Amazon. You can get it at Works.com. And, or you could just do a search. Works Blade Runner or Rockwell Blade Runner. There's a slight difference between the two models.
What? So the Rockwell Blade Runner, is it a little bit more professional grade, or what's the difference in the?
Well, the original Blade Runner, the carriage assembly holding the blade down was straight on and anchored in the back. They redesigned it with the X2 so that they bought the carriage assembly so it was a right angle and mounted on the right-hand side. So it's out of that area, so you've got more area to work with. Now, the plus thing about it is that if you have a huge piece that oversets that table, you can take the entire carriage assembly out and just have the blade there. And then you want to make sure that you're working it real slow and methodical with a lot of patience, so you don't get a lot of deflection with the blade.
Sure. Good stuff. Folks, I recommend checking out the product if you're an avid DIYer looking for some good solutions, reducing your footprint of all the tools you have. Go check out the Works Blade Runner X2. Available at Walmart or online at Amazon or at the Works website. Mike, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Good stuff. And then your website, one more time?
It's WORX.com, and it'll be the best $100 you ever spent.
Boom, there you go. All right, we'll be right back, and we'll be talking about architecture all over Chicagoland and the biennial. Don't go anywhere.